This is the FBCG Live Podcast with Pastor John K. Jenkins, Sr. Today's message is titled, A Cause and a Cure for Depression. The devil wants you to be afraid. Fear is not an attribute of God. It does not come from God. What you think will eventually impact your feelings. Wherever you're joining us from, we pray this message encourages and empowers you in your daily walk with God.
I want to talk about depression today. I want to talk about, I'm titling this message, A Case and a Cure for Depression. A case and a cure for depression. Let me start off by reiterating that I said a case, let me back up, a cause and a cure for depression. That's what the name of this message is, a cause and a cure. It's not the only cause and it's not the only cure. It is just, I want to approach it and give you some biblical solutions to depression, what may cause it and what's a cure, what can help you with it. Now, I don't want you to hear me tell you, because I'm not saying don't take your medicine. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, take your medicine. Look at your neighbor and say, take your medicine. Don't hear me saying don't take your medicine. Amen. Tell your neighbor. He didn't say don't take your medicine. Tell your neighbor. And look on the other side and tell the person on the other side, did you take your medicine today? Ask him. Also, I don't want you to hear me tell you not to go to your therapist. I'm not saying that. What did I not say? If the truth be told, all, you know, mental health has become a thing of the day. And if the truth be told, we all need to have some therapists. With all of the circumstances that we're facing and the challenges around us and the pandemic and health and death and losing your jobs and your children acting crazy, the wife done lost her mind, your husband acting a fool. We all need a therapist. Somebody say, we all need to talk to somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, yep, you look like you might need to go talk to a therapist. But while we are laughing, it's true. It's true. These are unsettling times. And I'm wanting to talk about this because in my own personal life, in my own journey of my life, I have had seasons and times of depression. I have wrestled with depression. But one day, God opened my eyes to his truth of how much he loved me and how much he cared for me. And it helped free me from the bondage of my depression. But here's the truth be told. Let me tell you this too. Even though I've been freed, every now and then that demon tries to rise his head and talk to me again. And I have to remind that devil I'm not listening. And some of you need to learn to apply these same truths in place. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, you got to learn how to do the right thing too. So I'm going to say this multiple times throughout the course of this message because I don't want anybody to get me wrong. I'm not telling you not to take your medicine. What did I say? There's a lot of reasons for why people are on medications. One of them is you might have a chemical imbalance in your body that causes you to be depressed. And that medicine might offset whatever is incorrect in your chemical balance. So by all means, take your medicine. Go ahead, tell them. Wait. Find somebody who you think needs to hear that. You might have to get up and walk around and go to where they are sitting. Go tell them, take your medicine. And while you're telling them to take their medicine, tell them, please make an appointment with your therapist. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. Mental health issues is the issue. So, having said that, having laid that down, how do you know if you're depressed? What are the symptoms? So many things. Constant sadness, irritable. That's a bunch of y'all right there, irritable. The inability to sleep, low energy or fatigue, feeling worthless, feeling guilty for no reason, significant weight change, difficulties in concentrating, loss of interest in activities, or just a whole string of things can be symptoms and characteristics that you might be depressed. They say if you have four or more of these characteristics, there's a good chance that you are depressed. Now, I recognize some of these things because in my own life growing up, as I grew up, lived in a loving family. My mother was amazing. But still, even in a loving home, I felt unloved. I felt insignificant, unimportant, depressed. I felt I was depressed. I felt the world hated me. I could go on down the list of a dozen things, many things that I felt. Suicidal. I felt all of those things, wrestled through all of those things, but I'm thanking God today that there is hope in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Whatever you do, don't stop talking to somebody and don't stop taking your medicine. Now, having said that, what I want to do is give you some biblical approaches to see what the Bible gives us, some suggestions, and I won't be before you long. Y'all saying that, but at 3:00, y'all gonna get up here and walk out of here. Okay, I hear y'all. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, say amen when you get there. Proverbs chapter 12, and I want to read verse number 25. Here's what it says. Anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression. Stop, stick a pin right there. There's one of the reasons the Bible tells us that causes depression, anxiety. Now, anxiety is defined in this Hebrew word, listen carefully, as fears that are derived from your thought life. Fears that come from the way you think. Your distress, uneasy, all of it caused by fear. Now, we know, because we know the scriptures, that God has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear does not come from God. Anytime fear enters into the domain of your domicile, into the arena of your life, you have to know right off the bat that it didn't come from God. What I try to tell people all the time is don't run away from your fears. Run in the direction of your fears. Because fear means the devil's trying to get you to go in a particular direction. Fear always comes from the devil. Say that. Fear always... Everybody. How do you know that, Pastor Jenkins? Because 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, jot that down. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So if fear enters into the arena, I know it didn't come from God. It is demonic in its nature. Some of you have lived your lives under the umbrella of fear. You've made decisions based on fear. Fear creates an atmosphere where Satan can strive. He loves the atmosphere of fear. He abides in that. What kind of fear do you have? Our thought life has many things that it can imagine, many things it can think. The fear of your past. Some of y'all are afraid that somebody gonna learn about your past. You're afraid that CNN gonna show up and she do an expose on what you did last year. Your past, 10 years ago. Will your yesterdays catch up with you? Do anybody here got something in their yesterdays that they afraid might get exposed? Oh, I see y'all lying. Y'all got a lying spirit. Y'all don't have nothing in your past that you want to keep hush on the down low. You don't want nobody to know nothing about it. We've all done something that we don't brag about, we don't tell nobody about, we hope it doesn't come out. And there's a fear about your past getting exposed. There's a fear about your present, a fear about what's going to happen today, what's going to happen right now, what's going to happen the rest of the day, the fear of what's happening now. There's a fear. And then there's a fear about the future. What's the possibilities of your future? What might happen tomorrow? What might happen when I get older? What might happen if I lose my job? What might happen if this doesn't make it or this doesn't survive? It's a fear of your future. Keep this in mind. Please write this down. You might not feel like you need it today, but I promise you it's going to come up somewhere in your journey that the devil's going to try to make you scared. He's going to try to cause you to make some choices and some decisions that are birthed and rooted out of fear. Now, this is important. I want you to get this in your head and in your heart. Lots of people have made horrific decisions that were fueled by fear. And my word to tell you today is that when you become afraid of anything, the devil is trying to get you to go in the wrong direction. Somebody tell your neighbor, don't go in that direction. Always run in the direction of your fears. So number one, it is one of the causes is anxiety, the uneasiness, the stress that goes along with the uncertainty of your tomorrow. Pastor Jesus, how can I overcome that? Here's what I know. Let me just throw this down for just a second. I know that no matter what happens in my today or my tomorrows, that I serve a God, that I've watched him protect me in my past. I've seen him take care of me in my yesterdays. I've seen him fight my battles. I've seen him bring deliverance. I've seen him answer my prayers. I've seen him give me the strength to overcome challenges that I was facing. I've watched God do the miraculous that I thought would never happen. And if he could take care of my yesterdays, I know he got my today and my tomorrows. You know what the truth of the matter is? He doesn't stop being God all of a sudden. He ain't gonna stop being the same God that he always has been. He's not going to all of a sudden stop being God. He's the same God yesterday, the same God today. He's the same God tomorrow. Go ahead and preach, Pastor Jenkins. I'm doing the best that I can. Get that down in your head. Get it in your heart. Get it in your mind. Get it in the bowels of your soul that we serve a God who fights our battles, who will give us deliverance, who will answer our prayers, who's looking out for us, who cares for us. He will always look out for us. I have no need to fear, no need to worry, no need to worry, because he took care of my yesterday. He'll take care of my today and my tomorrow. Woo! I need you to get that in your spirit. Anxiety getting in your heart causes depression. That fear, that uncertainty. But there's something else that causes you to have fear, an unguarded heart. You don't guard your feelings. You don't guard your thinking. If you allow the thoughts to linger in your mind, it will eventually make its way down to your heart. It will influence your emotions, your desires, your thinking. So whatever you do, you have to guard your heart. Some of y'all, you know, it's one thing to let a bird fly by, a thought fly by and let it keep going. It's another thing to let the bird land. Y'all ain't got it, okay. A few years ago, my wife and I at our home, we had a bird a bird's nest in a spot where the bird was pooping in a place we didn't want bird poop. And so my wife asked me to remove the bird nest. So when I went to remove the bird nest, she discovered that there were some little baby birdies in the bird nest. And she said, "Oh, no, don't move it. Don't move it. Let it stay there." I said, "Oh, no, we're not going to let the birds stay there and keep on pooping." Now, some of y'all are the same way. You don't want the bird poop, but you let the baby birds stay in there. You let baby thoughts. And baby thoughts grow up to be big thoughts. Y'all ain't hear what I'm saying to you today. That devil will put a baby thought in your mind and you like it. You entertain it. You look around it. You make a movie with it. You look around all sides of the thought, and you like the thought, and you let it stay there, and it keeps growing, and it becomes an adult. And when it becomes an adult, what happens? What had happened was a thought becomes an act. If you sow an act, you reap a habit. If you sow a habit, you reap a lifestyle. If you sow a lifestyle, you reap a destiny. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying to you today. It all got started by you entertaining and letting a thought stay in your mind, entertaining it. You like it. It makes you feel good. You ponder it. You look at it, and it keeps on staying, and you start doing it, and then you start living it, and then you're going to end up with it affecting your eternity. Do me a favor, look at your neighbor, say, "He preaching better than you saying amen." Tell him on the other side. Tell him on both sides. "He preaching, but you ain't saying nothing." Some of you have allowed your thoughts to have more respect in your realm than the Word of God. Let me let that sink in. You wonder why you keep doing what you're doing, what you know you ain't got no business doing, what you shouldn't be doing, where you shouldn't be going, what you shouldn't be engaged in, but you keep on thinking about it. And it causes your heart to want it. All because you let the baby birds stay there. When the 9 o'clock service was over here, I done preached about depression. I'm trying to get people out of depression. I'm trying to get people to think differently. And somebody came up to me and asked me the question, "What happened to the nest, Pastor? What happened to the baby birds?" I don't care what happened to the baby birds. They gone. They're not my responsibility. And you need to be more concerned about your soul and your destiny than somebody else. Somebody said, "Well, Pastor, what's the cure?" I'm glad you asked the question. I'm glad you asked. Because Proverbs 12:25 says, "Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad." Okay, y'all missed a great spot to say amen. How do I conquer depression? One way I conquer depression is get me a good word. Somebody say, "Give me a good word. Give me a good word." If I get a good word in me, it'll give me deliverance. Like what? A word like, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." That's in Isaiah 54, verse 17. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. That's what I got. That's the kind of word I need to have. Or 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. Here's what it says. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Y'all not hear what I'm saying? That's a good word. Somebody say, that's a good word. That's a word to have, that I'm a winner and not a loser. That I'm the victor and not a victim. That I'm up and not down. Hallelujah. I need a word. Somebody say, I need a word. That I have life and not death. That I'm healthy and not sick. You need a word. Somebody say, I just need a word. Somebody high-five your neighbor and say, I need a good word. That word will deliver you. That good word will set you free. That good word will loose your shackles. That good word will cause you to dance. That good word will lift your spirits. That good word will give you health and life and joy and peace and hope. All you need is a good word. That's why I read this word every day. That's why I'm in it all the time. It's a good word. Now, somebody said, well, how do I get a good word, Pastor? So at the 9 o'clock service today, and I'm going to do this at 12, 2, or 11:30, whatever time it is. Whoever this word is for, I'm going to ask you to come down. I'm going to pray for you. Amen. At 9 o'clock, I asked people to come down. The altar was full of people. And right at the front was a young lady. She didn't know no better. She started asking me questions. She said, Pastor, I got a question. Girl, don't you see me ministering to people right now? I said, what do you want to know? She says, where do I get a good word from? Good question. I said to her, not knowing what it was going to say, I said to her, whatever day of the week it is, whatever day of the month it is, read that psalm. And I said, here's the name. Now, the altar is full of people. People all in the aisle, all around, people all around came up to pray. I said, what's today? Today's the 12th. Let's read Psalm 12. And here's what Psalm 12 says. Help, Lord. You can pray the psalm, meditate on the psalm, read the psalm, memorize the psalm. It will give you life. You want to know what to say? Say, help me, Lord. Anybody here knows when you cry out to God, He's a God that will help you. Help me, Jesus. Deliver me, Jesus. Give me victory. Give me hope. Give me answer. He will do exactly what He said He will do. Believe God. Trust God. Call on God. Hey. I feel a shout down in my sanctified soul. Somebody give the Lord a shout. Somebody help me give Him praise. Somebody help me say thank you, Jesus. Help me, God. Make a way, God. I've lost my mind, but God, you can help me. You can deliver me. Sit down, sit down, sit down. I got one more thing and then I'm finished. One more thing, sit down. Sit down. Present help in time of trouble. He will help you. He will deliver you. He will respond to you. He will answer you. Hey! I got one more thing. I gotta give y'all this last thing. Can y'all just sit down? Y'all gonna stand? Okay, I'm gonna give it to you while you're standing. This is important. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'm gonna read. And I wanna challenge you to memorize these verses. Verses 3 through 6. 2 Corinthians 10. Verses 3 through 6, and it says this: For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. We're not going to win this war using fleshly efforts. Then he tells us about our weapons. Verse 4, For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Some of y'all got a stronghold in your life. The devil won't let it go. It's a stronghold. But then he tells us how we pull it down. Verse 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Stick a pin right there. Because what you got to do is control your thought life. You have to control your thought life. You have to control the thoughts that come in your mind. Stop entertaining it. Stop letting it stay. Stop letting it lay eggs. Stop letting it build a family. Stop letting it live there. Take control of it. And when it comes in your mind, kick it the hell out of there. Tell him, get out of here. You don't belong in here. I'm not entertaining you. I will live and not die. I'm going to be up and not down. I'm going to be a victor and not a victor. I'm going to be well and not sick. Into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Does it line up with the word? See, some of y'all can't get the victory. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say this, but God told me to tell you this. It's because of the music you listen to. You want to know why you can't get your mind straight? I think I said something about this a couple weeks ago. You're filling your mind with the music that's reiterating untruths in your soul, in your mind, in your spirit. And you want to know why you can't get the victory. And then it says this. I'm finished after this. I'm done. and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. When you start doing what you're supposed to do, the devil will be defeated. And all I'm talking about you doing is thinking right. That's all I'm talking about. Just get your thought life under control. Just get your thought life under control. Start thinking the way God wants you to. Now, who am I preaching to? Come here. Come here. Yeah, come on. That's right. Don't be ashamed. Hallelujah. I want to bind the spirit of suicide from off this place right now in Jesus' name. It's a spirit. It's a spirit. It's a demonic spirit that wants to take you out, but he wants to take you out because you represent a threat to his kingdom. But you ain't gonna die. You're gonna live. You're gonna have life. You're going to be victorious. You're going to be a winner and not a loser. You have a purpose. You have an assignment. You have a destiny. Punish disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you. Change your thought life.
You've been listening to FBCG Live with Pastor John K. Jenkins Sr. When you sow a thought, you reap an act. When you sow an act, you reap a habit. When you sow a habit, you reap a lifestyle. When you sow a lifestyle, you reap a destiny. If you've been blessed by this message and would like to help us reach more people through this ministry, please click the link in the podcast description or visit our website, fbcglenarden.org/give to donate. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you subscribe so that you'll never miss an episode. Be sure to tune in next week.